Hello and welcome back to The One Where I Met Your Mother, a podcast about friends and how I met your mother. I'm David.
I'm Natalie.
And how are you today?
I'm doing okay.
Okay. Good.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. It's a very warm day here. And
you got me off guard.
Los Angeles.
Like, how am I doing?
Things are coming unplugged as we speak. Uh-oh. This is a disaster.
Oh, no. Okay. We have a lot of things on this table.
Yeah, I think that's pretty standard, right? Especially in the endless work from home era.
Yeah.
This is our kitchen table, but it's also my desk.
Yeah.
5 days a week.
New and improved desk.
Yes. Yeah, we talked about that last week, how we're so much further away than we were.
Yeah.
For the first 12 episodes. I wonder if that has changed the dynamic.
I wonder. Yeah, I can't even, like, reach you if I try.
Yeah, we could grasp hands though if you wanted.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's cute. Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about this week's episodes that we watched of Friends and How I Met Your Mother. This was season 1, episode 14, so we're going to start with Friends season 1, episode 14, the one with the candy hearts.
Mm-hmm.
This is, it's not just a clever title. This is a Valentine's Day episode.
Yeah.
So we start with, I hate to get ahead of myself, but once again, my prediction was wrong.
Okay.
I predicted this would be Ross-centric, but not what I expected.
There was a lot of Ross.
Yeah, but what I predicted was that it would be about Ross making a move on Rachel.
That's not.
He goes out to... He asks out a woman in his building whom they see at Central Park.
Mm-hmm.
Joey comes up with this kind of cute, I think, like idea for him to hit on her with an egg.
I think it was cute. So he borrowed an egg from her. That was the only interaction he had with this woman named Kristen. And so then they ask one of the servers at Central Perk if they can use an egg. And so he returns it. So it's kind of a cute.
And that paid off when Chandler gave him a hug and crushed the egg. The egg was still in his like jacket pocket.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a cute little payoff. The woman, by the way, who played, you said Kristen was her name?
I think Kristen or Crystal.
Heather Medway is the actress.
She looked familiar.
So do you remember the Seinfeld episode, The Switch, where Jerry is dating a woman who doesn't laugh? But her roommate is a lot of fun,
right?
And he's trying to like go from dating one to the other. So she's the fun roommate who like laughs and has a good time.
Speaking of Seinfeld, both shows do this thing where like if a woman is at like a bar or a restaurant, like making eye, like it's just like so obvious when like someone's like looking at one of the dudes like over her shoulder.
Yeah.
Like, oh, who, like it's just so obvious. I don't think, again, people don't behave like this in real life.
Yeah, I think this is we're getting ahead of ourselves again here with like in terms of like comparing Friends and How I Met Your Mother, but I do like that How I Met Your Mother, especially in this episode we'll get to, like, it shows women as not just being in public, like, to be hit on. Like, they're active participants.
Hitting on other people.
Yeah. Like, they're looking. They're not just, like...
They're going to bars trying to pick up people.
Yeah,
also.
Whereas, like, yeah, this woman is, like... If her plan is to get picked up at Central Perk, then her plan is to just, like... sit there and wait until someone comes and hits on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, Ross successfully gets a date. Phoebe doesn't have a date. She's so desperate. She's considering going out again with Roger from last week, Fisher Stevens, who does not return.
Yeah.
As much as I love Fisher Stevens, I'm happy that he
didn't. His character was bad.
Yeah.
Not a bad character. It was just a bad date for Phoebe. Bad match.
So none of the ladies have a date. Ross obviously has a date with Kristen, or whatever her name is. And Joey has a date, but he needs to bring along a friend for his date's friend, so he brings Chandler along. But we'll get back to... let's start off with the first most important thing about that. I know we're going to get into fashion later, but where do we say... So when we do our Make It Fashion segment, we're normally talking about stuff we like.
Either way, just things that I notice, things that are funny. Sometimes I like it, sometimes I'm making fun of it.
Oh, okay. See, I've been trying to do just things I like.
I think it's just a discussion of notable.
Okay, so should I put a pin in any...
Put a pin.
Okay, all right.
Put a pin stripe.
Yeah, that's what I'll do. I'll put a pinstripe in it. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we'll get back to Joey and Chandler, but the ladies, Phoebe has a friend who has a shaved head, and somehow this is like
her name is Abby.
Her name's Abby. Yeah. She has a friend with a shaved head, which somehow disqualifies her from giving advice, I guess, yeah, at least in Rachel and Monica's eyes. There's so many characters in this show. I always have to pause and be like, which one am I talking about?
Yeah.
But anyway, they're desperate enough. They end up following her advice to do this ritual where they burn all of their exes' like stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Which is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they.
As a, you and I are renters, you can't be burning shit in your living room.
You can't start a fire.
Yeah,
and like pour alcohol in it. Basically, just yeah. And they're not dumb people, so it just seems.
Yeah, Rachel can sometimes be not dumb, but she's naive.
Yeah,
and she's the one who pours the grappa in the fire.
And Phoebe's like flighty, but none of them are stupid. I guess like if anything, Rachel would be kind of like ditzy. But I think she's growing.
She's been sheltered.
She's growing with time. I think their friendship has helped her blossom into a smarter person.
Yeah. So yeah, that they set a bunch of shit on fire. It's
a witchy ritual. They could have done it on the balcony.
Yeah, that's where they should have done it.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
But this is all the show just sort of like
setting up the
getting firemen.
Yeah, we need the firemen in there.
But they should have been. Monica and Rachel should be like evicted for setting a fire.
Absolutely.
In their
yeah.
Also, I'm just mad at them as a hirsute man.
Oh, they're making fun of
Monica's ex who had a hairy like chest.
Well, okay, they make fun of women who don't have hair. They make fun of men who do have hair. They yeah. make fun of people who are fat. They make fun of people who, yeah, they make fun of anyone.
Yeah, the show's very shallow. I guess very that is shallow. Something that the two shows actually have in common.
Yeah.
But I do think there's a slight bit more self-awareness on How I Met Your Mother's part. It still has a long way to go. But
or it's like 10 years, like, of
and
knowledge.
That's what I mean. Yeah. 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 Yeah, yeah. I don't mean to act like the How I Met Your Mother writers are super enlightened.
Right. Just
that in general, things right. have changed. But let's get back. We'll talk about Ross's date later, but I want to focus most of my discussion on the Chandler storyline.
Yeah.
Because I can't keep all the names yet. Joey's date's friend that needs a date ends up being Janice, whom yes. we met earlier in the yeah. show.
Did you see that going into it?
No, I didn't see that coming. Okay. What I did see coming was the, like, waking up the next morning, then waking up. That was a very obvious cut. Like,
of
they
course.
Decide.
Yeah.
Because Joey, like, leaves his card behind because right. he feels bad that he's abandoning them, which I kind of feel like Chandler was being a baby, like trying to like
yeah
because this Joey's date was like comically horny
yeah
like squeezing his dick with her toes or something like that.
Yeah.
There was a joke about picking up a roll of cord
and then she ordered
a dirty joke.
She ordered like chocolate mousse for like sex food play.
Yeah, three chocolate mousse to go.
And he's like, check please, basically, like.
It's very corny.
Very corny.
But I kind of like it. And then Chandler was like, oh, you can't leave me. But it's like, I don't know. I was on Joey's side, like, obviously he's yeah. going
to
go.
It's strange girl, to Chandler. Go on, like, a
man
blind
up.
Date on Valentine's Day, isn't it? I don't know. I just think.
I think it seems strange, but I guess people, I mean, look, I've never had this problem. Because I'm, you know, very. Always been very popular with the ladies. But I was never in need of a date on Valentine's Day. Like, I think people do. I know from experience that friends, especially like in our younger adult days, like do get kind of desperate and sad about the idea of being alone on Valentine's Day. And so someone like Janice is going to be like, fine, you know,
right.
This is better than nothing. Is probably what she's thinking.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Joey leaves his credit card. He's like, I'm sorry, you know, I'm sorry I'm bailing on you and leaving you with Janice, whom you hate for some reason. More on that in a second. Here's yeah. my credit card. So they end up ordering a bunch of drinks.
The most expensive champagne on the menu.
Two bottles. Like one bottle per person.
Yeah.
And of course they wake up, you know, cut to the next morning. They wake up, they wake up together. But here's on a complaint about how Friends is unrelatable to me
okay.
in some ways.
Okay.
The fact that the writers of Friends expect us to believe that Janice is anything less than a delight and irresistible to be around.
Yeah.
And it's gorgeous. There's a complete cognitive distance.
Funny.
She's so fun. Yeah. And so pretty.
Yeah.
I don't understand how, like,
they all hate her and they all make fun of her relentlessly. And I mean, I think her voice has a lot to do with it. And,
but her voice, that's part of her charm. Her, like, accent is charming.
I think so too.
So I feel like I don't want to say Friends is a bad TV show. Obviously, it's a good TV show and people love it. But
yeah,
one of the things that's great about TV, well-made TV, is the writers and the cast sort of getting to know one another and getting to know the characters better and writing to that. And this feels like a case of, like, the writers just sort of, like, stubbornly saying, no, we've invented an obnoxious character, and no matter what all of our senses are telling us that she's wonderful, we're going to continue to insist. And it feels like that
they should have made her, like, a bad person or, like, rude or something. Like, I think the hatred of Janice is also, tell me if this is a reach, but, like, I think it's a little bit anti-Semitic.
Yeah, probably.
Because, like, the way that she talks is, like, kind of, like, New York Jew.
Well, it's very, like, Fran-Dreschery.
It's an exaggerated New York Jewish woman accent.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I compared it to Fran-Drescher and...
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, I feel like... Everyone loves Fran-Drescher too. Like, you know because the Nanny is all on HBO Max now. Like, younger people who grew up after The Nanny were on have, like, discovered The Nanny en masse, and there's, like, Nanny memes and stuff. And I'm all for that because I think Fran-Drescher is wonderful.
Feel like something happened recently. I think she might be
like anti-vaxxer or something. Yeah. That's always what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone.
Or she, like, defended a bad person. I forget what it was, but I was like, oh, Fran-Drescher is canceled?
I don't know. Well, I still think she's delightful. Maggie Wheeler or Fran-Drescher can both get away with a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Be careful.
Okay, so yeah, I love Janice. You love Janice. Everyone with a brain loves Janice. Chandler has no brain. And he tries to break up with her for a third time since this very young series has begun. And she has a great speech about how, like, this isn't the end.
Yeah.
Which just delighted me because I want to see more of her.
The way she delivers it too, you love me.
Yeah.
You will always love me. Like, it's just so, so funny.
Yeah. And we haven't talked about Ross's date at all. It's hilarious to me that he... takes this woman to Benihana on Valentine's Day like it's the fucking they're going to homecoming after or something, like the corniest shit to do for a grown, like, professional New Yorker to go to, like, a chain teppanyaki restaurant.
Well, we don't know, it's I mean, there's other teppanyaki.
No, there's literally a Benihana sign as an establishing shot.
Oh, I didn't even notice that. I didn't even clock that. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, it literally starts with a Benihana sign and then it goes to the inside.
But they're all corny people. It's not, like, a surprise that he would do that.
It is a surprise that Carol and Susan are there because they seem, like...
They seem more cultured.
More worldly and more cultured. Like, why would they...
I don't...
Maybe they're, like, you and I have, like...
I think it's
ironically gone to Olive Garden, right?
We did a long time ago.
A long time ago. But then we were, like, eating the food and we were like, this isn't fun.
This sucks.
This is bad food. This sucks. Like, I guess I could... you and I have never ironically gone to Red Lobster because there's almost nothing for you to eat
at
Red
Lobster. But I would go just for the biscuits.
The biscuits. Because, yeah, if the food's good, I, in my recollection, Red Lobster is good. Olive Garden, I mean, I like those, like, just soaked in butter breadsticks, like butter, salt, you know, the
breadsticks. But they were so much better when we were, I thought, like, when I was a child, those breadsticks and, like, salad, that was so good. And when I had it, you know, 10 years ago or whatever, it was so lacking. I think they changed the recipe, or maybe my tastes have gotten more refined. I don't know.
That's probably a big part of it. So anyway, Benihana, I don't know. Yeah.
I love a Teppan grill. Anytime, like, I think it's a fun.
Okay.
You don't like...
I guess I'm a snob.
It's
or
not
I'm just
bad.
Shy?
I think you don't like having to respond to people.
Yeah,
you
I don't
like having to...
Interaction.
You don't like interaction,
yeah.
At all.
Yeah, that's with you. I mean, like, you're the only person I really like.
Davey.
That's, yeah, that's an exaggeration. But yeah, I'm not good on, I'm not big on, like, you know, audience participation.
Right.
That
right.
sort of that sort of thing. There was a an episode of, do you remember the episode of Modern Family where Mitch takes, it's Cameron and Mitchell, right? Yeah. Mitchell takes Cameron to a play and intentionally doesn't tell him that it's like one of those like interactive plays where like the beforehand the characters are like milling about and Cameron like, or yeah, Cameron I guess is like, I forget which one's which. We watched that show for 11 years and I can't remember which one is Jesse Tyler Ferguson. He's Mitchell.
No, I don't know.
Or is he Cameron?
I don't know.
Wow.
Any listeners are probably like screaming.
I know. We watched the whole show like right around the time we started dating, and we watched every single episode of that show.
I blocked it out of memory. Can't even remember which character was which.
Anyway, Jesse Tyler Ferguson is like pissed off, and I fully relate to that. I would like, if you did that to me, if you took me to a play that you knew was interactive and didn't tell me, I would storm out.
Mitchell Pritchett is...
That's Jesse Tyler Ferguson.
Yes. Also, I think if alcohol was involved, I think you'd have fun. I think we would just have to kind of loosen you up a little bit and you'd have a good time.
Okay. Well, I guess alcohol is involved with it.
Yeah.
Teppan Yaki. So, yeah.
Just start with a sake.
Yeah. Or three.
Yeah.
Okay, so, but as corny as Benihana is, the only thing worse is Ross's date banter about, like...
He's not listening to her.
But first, it starts with him making some sort of, like, really labored joke about, like, jet lag must be worse for dogs because of the 7 years to 1 year thing. It's, like, horrible.
It's not funny.
Kristen is, like... quite a sport.
Yeah.
for going along.
Yeah.
With this. But then, yeah, like I said, Carol and Susan show up and then Susan
has to leave for work.
So Carol's alone. So Ross invites her over, ends up talking to her, doesn't even realize that Kristen has left. And I found that, like, I think that was, this is one of those things that I find Ross so off-putting that even when the show's supposed to be like building sympathy for him, I'm just like, ugh, quit being such a child. Like, so like his whole thing about why he just wants to be with Carol is because things with her are easy. And I understand what that's supposed to mean, like, oh, we have a rapport, but it also just, I think, speaks to his boyishness and the way that he's like the favored son. We've heard, And I think he's just so, like, he's entitled and he's used to getting his way. And so he, I don't know if I believe that he loves Carol or if he just, if it's just easy for him.
I believe that he does. I do believe that he loves Carol. Like when his date was talking, yes, it was rude that he was so dismissive of his date, but he can tell that Carol was upset and like feeling lonely. He knows she's pregnant and he can't like focus on anything else. He's just like, I want Carol to feel better.
Well, I'm glad you're on Ross's side.
And okay, in other ways too, I'm on Ross's side. Just like, he's good. We might have talked about this before, but he's good at physical comedy.
Oh, David Schwimmer is.
Yeah, David Schwimmer.
Yeah.
And his character gets away with like a lot of hilarious like stunt work.
Yeah, well, he got a mushroom stuck to his forehead in this episode.
Well, sure, if you remember the Teppan Grill, the chef like threw like a shrimp in the air and he caught it in his mouth, and it was obviously like hot, like straight from the grill.
Yeah,
and he spit it right back out. But it was like, I wonder how many takes that took to get that. But it was very funny.
Yeah, good for him. Okay, yeah, good for David Schwimmer. I still don't really like Ross. So we haven't really talked. I mean, I guess I went all out of order, but the resolution of the episode is the ladies like have a date with some firemen, who then we find out in the tag are all married men. Chandler breaks up with Janice, but she's like, not really, you know, I'll be back.
They all make fun of him for sleeping with her.
Oh yeah. The hallway reunion was like such a great scene though.
Yeah.
Because again, it's like the show I feel like on the one level, it's like supposed, you're supposed to be joining all these characters and making fun of Chandler for sleeping with Janice. Mm-hmm. But also what I feel like the, what is actually happening is the show is building up more and more sympathy for Janice. Cause you're like, this person's so nice and bubbly and fun and sweet. And all these people are just being mean, just making fun of her. But that was a funny scene of everyone coming out and Monica calling Ross.
Yeah.
And, it just, it's again, the writing like backfiring. It feels like it's supposed to be making fun of Janice, but I like her more at the end of that scene than I did to begin with, which was a pretty high level to begin with.
They're also cruel to Janice in the way that, like, maybe she's too lame to realize that they're all making fun of her. Like, because she is not wise to it. She doesn't say, like, why are you making fun of it? Like, at no point is she like, Monica, that's rude. That's fucked up. Like, you know, she doesn't realize. She's just like, oh, hi, nice to see you. And everyone else is like being so horrible to her.
Yeah.
So maybe she's, maybe she doesn't let it get to her. Maybe she does know.
I think she knows and she's just like super like.
Doesn't care.
Self-actualized and.
Yeah, I'd like to think that. That's a good way to think of it. Like, these fools don't. But why would she want to be with Chandler?
Yeah, that's what I don't get.
Yeah. He broke up with her on New Year's Eve and now Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Like, he's a bad guy.
Yeah, he is. He is a bad guy. Ross is a bad guy. Joey, who can be a creep, and is a creep in this episode, more on that later, is the nicest. He's the best of the three guys, right?
Yeah, he finds a girl just as horny as him.
Yeah, but I'm saying, I don't know, if someone that I care about, a friend or family member, were going to be dating one of these three characters, I'd be happiest for her if it were Joey.
Yeah, at this point, yeah.
All right. Last thing, we skipped over it. I meant to mention, not only do they order, because I kind of liked this line, not only do they order a bottle of champagne each, but then Chandler also orders a Rob Roy, and then she gives him a look, and he's like, I've always wanted to know.
Yeah.
Which is funny, but also, I like a Rob Roy. It's just a Manhattan with scotch instead of whiskey.
Ugh, that wouldn't be for me.
But yeah, Rob Roy is good. Did you have, before we move on to our little segments for this, for Friends, season 1, episode 14, the one with the candy hearts, did you have any other general observations?
Let's see.
Anything we didn't touch on?
No, I guess it like the funny line with the firefighters is them saying like, oh, this is like the third time we've had to respond to like a boyfriend bonfire.
Yeah.
So apparently it's like a common thing that like on women Valentine's are doing Day. Like a witchy ritual of trying to get rid of their bad juju with men.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah. It's reductive and silly.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But those firemen were cute, I guess. I don't know. All right, let's move on to our funniest moments. I'll start.
Okay.
Because you'll start with the How I Met Your Mother one. Funniest moment for me, well, and you alluded to it, and I kind of tried to push past because I knew it was going to be my funniest moment. The payoff of Ross not listening to Kristen, you know, when he introduces Carol. Carol is a sixth grade teacher, and she does this, and Kristen does something that isn't even her major. Just that's all he got from her entire story.
Yeah.
I thought that was very funny.
Yeah. We mentioned already the physical comedy of Ross catching the little chunk of food in his mouth. That was very funny. When they're doing their boyfriend bonfire, Phoebe's kind of like reading the witch manual,
right? The recipe, the witchy recipe.
Yeah. And the way her line reading of, now we need the semen of a righteous man. And then of course, like there's a joke about like, if we had semen of a righteous man, we wouldn't be here right now, which wasn't even the funniest part. It was Phoebe's reading of it. I also thought it was funny when Joey was talking to Chandler about his date, and he says something like, I don't know what slathering is, but I definitely want to be part of it. Like, wouldn't you know what slathering?
Yeah, that's not like a 50 cent word.
Yeah.
That's, yeah.
So she's, I guess she like at some point says to him, like, I want to slather chocolate mousse on your body and lick it off or whatever. And he's like, but context clues, like you would know slather.
Wasn't there something with George Costanza and like
the food?
He tried to mix food, sex, and TV,
and he's eating like a sandwich, like in the pastrami night
sandwich. It's so gross. Well, because pastrami is the most sensual of the salted cured meat.
Right.
And then he says, yeah, pastrami's a big part, because then when he adds TV, he ends up just ignoring the woman and just like under the covers of the portable TV eating a sandwich.
Just eating a sandwich.
And then he says to Jerry, I flew too close to the sun on wings of pastrami. And Jerry goes, yeah, that's what you did.
That's what you did.
This isn't a Seinfeld podcast. Yeah. I'm sure those exist.
Yeah.
Let's move on to Friends, but make it fashion. I'm glad I get to go first, because I think we probably have the same one. But in the final Janice scene, her red coat with the leopard print collar and cuffs. Holy shit, that was so cool.
Yeah, she always mixes a lot of animal prints.
Yeah, because her bag was a different animal
print. Yeah, like cheetah and another cheetah. Leopard? But,
I think her coat was leopard. It was like a red, like, I don't know. I don't know what the material was of the coat, like a suede or I don't know, something like that.
It's just a fuzzy.
Yeah, but it had big puffy leopard print, like a huge collar that came all the way down, and then big chunky cuffs that were leopard print. That was definitely my fashion moment. The one I was going to say before that my least favorite fashion moment, and you've called out turtlenecks a lot on this show, but Joey's white turtleneck.
Oh,
I hated it.
He also has a red one. And I wondered if like that was his like Valentine's Day choice.
Well, to dinner he wears the white one.
Right.
Which is like, I hated it. What are your fashion moments?
So this wasn't my favorite, but this made me chuckle, was Kristen, Ross's date at the Teppanyaki Grill. She had a shirt with like little bows down the center. It was like a white shirt with three little bows, and it just looked like a child's.
It's junior. Yeah.
Yeah. It was very junior.
Okay. Well, let's, now you get to point out any running jokes or not just running jokes, also motifs that might have popped up that I might have missed. Obviously, there's returning characters. There's Janice, there's Carol, there's Susan.
Yeah. So we've talked in the past how the friends are lame because they drink coffee, but Phoebe was drinking beer. The girls were drinking beer when they were doing their, when they were like planning their Valentine's Day. They were making a salad and like all drinking beer.
Drinking a beer.
Yeah.
Making a salad.
I was grossed out by Joey talking about, he was like getting Chandler in to like go on this double date with him, and his way of like getting Chandler on board is saying like, she's needy and vulnerable.
I have a note to talk about
cha-ching.
That later. Yeah.
And that's like played for fun, and that's gross. And How I Met Your Mother does the same thing. Like,
at the end we'll talk about similarities and differences, and I have all this.
Oh, I see. Okay.
As part of my, my observations.
Okay, yeah, that's it.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Should we move on then to How I Met Your Mother, Season 1, Episode 14, Zip, Zip, Zip?
Yeah. Yeah. Which... I'm just realizing now the name of the
episode. Why is it called that?
Is it like the zip of Lily like peeing? People taking their clothes off?
Yeah. Why is it called?
Okay. At any rate, I'm going to. Okay. So let's start with what's happening. So Ted and Victoria have been kind of hot and heavy, but not hot. You know, they're just spending a lot of time together. And then, of course, Victoria has her like weird rules. So she is saying that like she doesn't want to have sex until a month in. So she has like an abstinence rule for a month, which again,
the same thing as last week. I feel like
so annoying.
Victoria is almost like a parody of a rom-com, like,
yeah.
love interest.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm just like,
it's not fun.
Rewatching this, I'm. Do you ever like think about what was the younger you thinking? When this first aired, I was so into Ted and Victoria. I was like, this is a great, I ship them or whatever.
I definitely
didn't. And now I don't.
I think everything I don't about know what their I was thinking relationship about. I was is annoying. Very, very annoying. And I don't like them together. So anyway, Marshall and Lily are celebrating their 9th anniversary and they were going to go out of town for the weekend to a maple...
Bread and breakfast?
Yeah.
A bed and breakfast.
Yeah.
Which I will say, you and I have been together longer than 9 years. Well, from dating. Because they're not married yet. This is their dating.
Yes.
9 years, which you and I didn't really observe anniversaries until we got married. Did we?
No.
Yeah. So you and I have been married for almost exactly 7 years, coming up on 7 years.
Yeah.
Very soon. But we've been together longer than that. And I will say, I thought the bed and breakfast sounded fun.
Me too. We would have made it so fun.
Yeah.
So they decide last minute to like stay home because they don't want to deal with all of that. They'd rather just like order Chinese food and watch Quantum Leap and be cozy. But this coincides with Victoria agreeing to like break their abstinence vow because she'll be out of town for like the 30-day mark.
Right.
So they're like, well, we could do it now. So they go back to the house. Marshall and Lily don't want to fuck it up for Ted. So they're hiding in the bathroom for most of the episode. And they have some like silly times. Lily has to pee and...
Okay, I think is the zip, zip, zip thing... There are 3 storylines, and in each storyline, at least one person gets undressed. Like Lily to pee,
yeah.
Ted for sex,
and Barney for hopeful sex yeah. with Robin. That's another thing in this little recap is Barney and Robin have like a bro down where they like go to like a cigar bar and then they go to laser tag and then they go back to Robin's house to play Battleship.
There's McLaren's. Yeah.
And like kind of, they're like each other's, I guess, wingmen.
Wingman in it.
Yeah. And he thinks that they're going to have sex and she turns him down and it's kind of revealed that she might have feelings for Ted.
Which we knew last week because she cried when she saw Ted and Victoria.
Right, but now Barney knows.
Now more people know.
Now so Barney, yeah. And there was a phone call that, I guess Barney called Ted and in a weird, like, veiled way said like, so you're over everyone else right now, like you're into Victoria, so you don't care if anything, if I make a move on who, you know, so yeah. He didn't say I'm gonna make a move on Robin, is that cool?
He had just sort of general
so thing. Ted just said yeah, that's fine, whatever.
And I think he said like say maybe Robin or
yeah,
whatever.
And he said yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah
where I was thinking like it's possible because, you know, Barney made a good point to Robin saying like, neither of us want anything serious. We are compatible and we have a good time together. We both want sex without, you know, strings attached. And she's kind of like, that's not a bad point. Mm-hmm. And I was really nervous and maybe that will happen. I don't know. But, I don't think so. I would hope not, but who knows? You know.
Yeah, I know is the thing, so I don't know what to say to that.
Who's to say? I guess we'll never know. Okay, anything else happen?
I have a number of things that I wanted to, observations that I had, but some of them, I couldn't fit all my funniest moments of this episode into one. There were many moments in this episode that were very funny.
Okay.
But we'll get to that later. I did like also a holdover from the last episode. Cause you know, we just talked about how we don't like Victoria.
Yeah.
I love that Marshall and Lily also don't like Victoria.
Them making fun of the conversation yeah. was very fun because it's like, I want this moment to last forever. Like, it was just like their conversation on the couch as like foreplay was just like so like torturous.
It was awful. Yeah. And so I like them making Marshall being like, this moment is fleeting because it's being chased by another moment. It's like a little hand movement of like a moment. Yeah, chasing
that was
a moment.
Like one of my funniest.
Oh yeah, mine too. Sorry.
That's okay.
Okay, maybe I'll save that for the fashion. What do you think? Okay, speaking of comparing us to Marshall and Lily, I'm all for couples never peeing in front of each other ever to maintain the mystery.
I'm not going to say this is like a struggle in our relationship, but I've had to kind of cater to you because I would see no problem with that.
Really? Yeah, and I say really, but I know how you feel. But I like the maintaining the mystery part of that.
But there's like a whole like element of like shame involved, which I don't like.
Yeah, well, I guess you weren't raised Catholic.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, I did. We've talked about it before, and I did grow up in a naked house.
Yeah.
And you very much didn't.
Oh, no, no, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. Grew up in a repressed Catholic house.
Yeah. So I've like, where's the compromise? Because I feel like I've had to be like a door shut peer this whole time.
Yeah. Good.
But what have you done to compromise?
I do all kinds of stuff.
Name one.
I love how we're going to have, but in other, okay. So no, you've compromised on that, but in other ways you've turned me into like a food sharer when we go out.
Okay.
We have different diets because I meet and you don't.
Right.
But if it's possible for us to share, I will share food, which I used to be like, no, this is mine.
Yeah.
It reminds me of an early episode of the Doughboys podcast. One of the co-hosts, excuse me, darling, one of the co-hosts, Mitch, said, I would rather buy you your own order of French fries than give you one of my French fries. And I totally get that. But I think you've changed me on that. You've made me more of a sharer.
I saw some post on social media and it was like a silly menu where there was like a little portion of the menu that it was called my girl or my girlfriend is not hungry, but it was like a side of fries or a side of onion rings that you like add.
Yeah.
Girlfriend's not hungry.
You and I went out for your birthday a few months ago to a steakhouse where maybe this is a common thing in the steakhouse. At steakhouses, but I'd never done it before. We basically, you didn't want a steak, you just wanted the sides.
Yeah.
So we said we were going to split the steak.
Oh yeah, Madonna Inn.
Madonna Inn, yeah. We said we were going to split the steak, and they were like, okay, it's only like $12.95 more, and you get double sides.
Yeah, which is so perfect.
I hope, I wish more
places should do that.
Yeah,
maybe
more steakhouses should do that if they don't.
We don't go to a lot of steakhouses, but.
Hey, and that's not, you know, it's my decision.
Yeah.
I go to steakhouses all the time. I'm a real man's man.
Yeah, you're a real meat and potatoes kind of dude.
Yeah. I thought it was funny that Lily drinks Mountain Dew while they watch Quantum Leap.
Yeah.
That was very funny. Here's my... I have a pet peeve, though, about... And you see it in sitcoms or in movies like Can't Hardly Wait. The trope, the storytelling trope of, like, someone stuck in the bathroom for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe in the party in Can't Hardly Wait, there's other bathrooms or whatever. But, like, the thing I kept thinking the entire episode was, like, Ted and Victoria don't have to pee. There's only one bathroom in this apartment. They've had two bottles of wine.
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't have to pee at all.
Yeah.
Until after they had sex.
Yeah.
That's when Ted comes out.
No.
To pee. I didn't buy that.
No.
You know? Like, earlier in the season when Barney slept in the bathroom, pretended to sleep, Lily peed in the middle of the night, not knowing that he was asleep in the bathtub.
Yep.
That's what happened. Like,
yeah.
You couldn't hide.
What would they have done? Because you're supposed to pee before and after sex.
I know. Huh.
So, yeah, Victoria.
I guess that wine really went to her head and she just wasn't thinking.
Yeah, she's going to give herself a bladder infection, a UTI.
Yeah. Yeah, but I guess that, because there's a bathroom, there's a window in their bathroom, but that's not the one that has the fire escape. The one in the living room has the fire escape. So that one, they can't go out.
Yeah. So they would, they would be forced to like hide behind the shower curtain in the tub.
Yeah. Oof. Scary.
And you know, Marshall is a big guy.
His head would be peeking out the
top.
Plus, I don't know. Okay. I don't know if you're like this, revealing things about ourselves. If I use the bathroom in another person's house, the first thing I do is check the tub and make sure mm-hmm. there's not someone in there.
Yep.
It's weird,
right? I do too. It's not weird because a little peek in my childhood, like we went to like a babysitter's house and there was like a creepy kid who was in the bathroom, like
who'd hide in the bathroom yep. and wait for people to pee.
Yep. And yeah, it was a problem. And so ever since then, I always check.
Yeah. Okay. So, Marsh and Lily wouldn't get away with hiding in our bathroom.
No.
They'd be discovered too immediately. Sweet.
Yeah. I don't check in our bathroom though.
I think I do.
Who do you think's going to be there?
I guess our cat, her name is Ursula. She does sometimes like hang out in the empty tub.
Yeah.
Weirdo.
Yeah.
And then, last thing, I don't know if you noticed this, it ends with them playing Battleship, Barney and Robin playing Battleship, which they both admitted to being cheaters early on. And Barney says his move is to just stack all the ships on top of one another. Yeah. I don't know if you glanced at his board. That's exactly what he does.
Oh, I didn't notice that. Yeah. Props to the prop.
Yeah. All right. Are we moving on to funniest moment?
Yeah.
I think you start.
Okay. I don't know. I thought this was like a cute, it wasn't my funniest moment, but when Robin says your relationship is a fourth grader, because they've been together for nine years. I thought that was cute. I also liked, so when Barney and Lily are like hiding out in the bathroom, they're saying like, Ted really needs to have sex. Like, so we need to like do this for him. Like, stay here. We don't want to ruin the moment. And I think Marshall says, like, if we don't do this for him, one of us will have to have sex with Ted and it's not going to be me. Basically like telling his girlfriend that she's going to have his fiance. And I thought that was funny. Like, well, obviously like one of us is going to have sex with him if he doesn't have sex with, Victoria tonight. Also, I liked when at the laser tag place when Barney says, "Want to go get a soft pretzel?"
Yeah,
at the end of it, that was fun.
So I have a few. I'll work my way up from to my funniest. The first one in like the very first scene at McLaren's when they're all talking about their plans for the weekend, and Robin says, "Looks like it's just me and you." And Barney's like, "Really?" And she's like, "Oh, I was talking to my martini."
Yeah, I like that.
That
also
was funny.
Yeah.
I liked, actually, that's the first group scene. The very first scene is Marshall and Lily listening outside the bedroom when they think Ted and Victoria are having sex.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then Victoria comes out and like catches them and they all like run.
Scatter.
Like,
yeah.
And then, and so then they start talking and then, Lily goes, "Oh, Victoria, you're here."
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah. And then my favorite isn't even a line, but the first time that Marshall opens the bathroom door and it cuts to the wide shot of
his little
Ted
face.
Victoria and his face is just like creeping.
Yeah, that was that very was funny.
Super funny.
Yeah.
What about How I Met Your Mother, but make it fashion?
Robin suits up, you know, for their bro night.
Yeah.
And she's wearing like a pinstripe suit with like a corset.
An awful corset.
I hate it. Yeah.
I think you and I are on the same page about
Robin's yeah.
outfits are often not good.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. I hated her corset.
Me too.
Had like big like ring buttons.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I hated it. Yeah, another thing I thought was terrible was like Lily's like nighttime boots or whatever. Like
nighttime boots and Victoria's Secret pink pants. Like, come on.
Well, I guess in 2006, maybe.
But Lily, I feel like Lily is not a pink kind of gal.
Yeah, you're probably right.
There's a certain, like, no judgment, but maybe a little bit. But like, I was not a pink, you know, like I would never wear Victoria's Secret pink pants.
Are pink pants worn by a character type that will be established by How Many Mother in seasons to come? The Woo Girls? You know Woo Girls?
I know
the
Woo Girls.
The girls at the bar who go, "Woo!" Are those the type of ladies who wear pink?
Okay. And also the people who would like wear Uggs out in public. You know, it's just like,
I feel like Lily's kind of basic.
She is kind of basic.
I don't know. I feel like we're being very judgy.
We are.
You and I.
We totally are. Okay. Yeah. I don't want to alienate any UGG wearers or Victoria's Secret pink pants wearers. Yeah, it just seems out of character
here. Just seems, yeah. So I was like searching to try and find an outfit in this episode that I liked.
Yeah.
And the best I could come up with was I thought they looked cool in their laser tag vests. that was the best bit of fashion I could find in the entire episode for me. Okay. Running jokes and motifs. Did you clock any? I've got a few here.
Let's see. Okay. It was gross when like Barney was talking about like, I can't believe she'd make you wait a month. The only reason you should wait a month for sex is if the girl is 17 years old and 11 months.
Yeah. Which is I have that written down again.
So similarities gross and differences. And predatory.
I was going to compare Barney and Joey.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Cause Joey, yeah, we'll just get to it now. Like Joey is a creep in this episode with his like, oh, she's needy and vulnerable thing.
Yeah.
And my thought was like, oh, Joey's being a bit of a Barney here.
Yeah.
And then Barney in this episode manages to out creep Joey with the 17 years, 11 months joke.
Also, I love the, that we like saw Robin's dogs, three of them. There are three big dogs in her apartment.
Yeah. Yeah.
We don't just hear them and they're good dogs. They're just like chill.
Yeah. We've seen them before when Ted, was over there in the first episode.
Oh, okay.
Speaking of which, the blue French horn is still on
blue
Robin's
French horn
mantle.
Yeah. Yeah.
You mentioned the Robin suits up.
Robin suits up. Yeah, there was a gross comment about like daddy issues being hot in a woman.
Yeah.
Problematic.
But I would say the biggest to me like establishment of a couple of running jokes slash motifs is, I mean, we've definitely gotten hints of it before, but Robin being like a bro type of lady,
sure.
a guy's girl or whatever, sort of, that's a stupid stereotype.
Yeah.
Robin being a bro and Robin and Barney having like camaraderie is,
or quid pro bro.
Yeah. Yeah. That's definitely this is the writers and the cast like hitting on something they realize works. And so Barney and Robin as a pairing is going to be a lot of fun going forward.
Okay. Should we talk about similarities?
Well, I heard my big one was the two creeps, Joey being a creep and Barney being
that,
a creep.
That and also lesbianism as a punchline.
Oh, right. Yeah, because there's Barney, the listener knows, I'm assuming, because we can't assume the listeners also watched the episode. So in case they didn't watch the episode, Barney is trying to, because Barney and Robin and McLaren are trying to like find someone for the other one to hit on, and Barney points out a woman who has like short hair and like a collar button shirt, and you know, Robin's like, oh, that's a woman, and he's like, oh, oops, but then we very quickly find out that the woman actually is a lesbian, because she hit on the woman that Robin tries to set up with Barney.
Right.
So yeah, that's the lesbianism as a punchline joke there.
And then Friends, it's every single episode when talking about Carol and Susan and Ross's terrible luck because, you know, he's having a baby with a lesbian.
And then he makes eyes at another woman as she walks past, and Carol is like, not her. Because I guess Carol's gaydar picked up that this woman was also a lesbian. Right? Is that what you took out from that?
I took from that like she still wants some control over Ross's life.
Oh, see,
and maybe because this woman who walked by was like tight clothes, like very busty. We didn't see her face, but also like objectifying this woman as just like a body. So I took it as like she's still trying to exert some control over his life.
But Carol specifically says, you just need to find a woman who likes men.
Oh, I missed
that. And then Ross looks up and Carol says, not her.
Okay.
So I took it as a gaydar type of thing.
You're right. I didn't notice that. But yes, you're absolutely right.
Okay. As long as I'm right, that's what's important.
Mm-hmm.
Any other similarities or differences between the two shows this week, or do you want to move on?
Yeah, I forgot to mention in the Friends episode, the props staff was like not on their game. Did you notice that the restaurant, the wine was in like weird baskets? Like, this restaurant decor was just so confounding to me. Like, it, like, all the art on the walls were so weird. Really? And the chairs were like weirdly cushioned couches. Like, it was just so mismatched and odd. Yeah. And to present, like, it's supposed to be like a nice kind of a fancy restaurant, but the wine was presented in these like wicker baskets.
But isn't that a thing in like Italian restaurants? I feel like,
but I don't even know if it was an Italian restaurant.
Right. Yeah. Where do you get chocolate mousse for dessert?
They were having lobster. There were like lobsters and like, it was just a weird, weird restaurant that didn't seem to,
it's just like a vaguely classy restaurant. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I noticed this, I don't care about continuity errors, but, the bathroom window, in Marshall and Lily's story, closes mysteriously. But it's weird that it was open in the first place. If it's February in New York City, why would you have the window open?
Yeah. I also noticed in their bathroom, I was annoyed how many like paper cups were like littered around the room. Like, you go get yourself an actual glass. You could reuse it.
Yeah. It's better for the environment.
Yeah.
Well, let's play favorites, huh?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
I'll just say How I Met Your Mother was funnier.
So I thought The Friends was my favorite.
Okay. We disagreed.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I had trouble narrowing down a funniest moment in this How I Met Your Mother episode, and that's a big deal for me. Also, I really like the Barney and Robin, pairing. I like when Barney is a person, you know, as opposed to just like a caricature.
Yeah.
And there's a little bit more of that here.
Honestly, like, I really don't like Victoria. I don't like Ted and Victoria, and I think that that colored the episode for me.
I get it. I don't know why I liked it when I was younger.
I did like in the Friends episode up until like the firefighters, you know, like hitting on them at the end. I like the three of them doing their own thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but I guess it's like about like men treating them poorly.
Yeah, it's not a Bechdel test.
It's not a pass. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Well, let's move on to our segments in which I get to have fun by saying things that embarrass Natalie. Start with the first segment, which is called How Were We Doing? Mm-hmm. This is where we look at what was going on in the world, or at least in the country, on the days that these episodes aired. So the Friends season 1, episode 14, the one with the candy hearts, aired on Thursday, February 9th, 1995. Interesting thing that happened that day. Bernard A. Harris Jr. became the first black astronaut to perform a spacewalk.
Oh, wow.
So good for Bernard A. Harris Jr.
Yeah, I don't remember that happening, but that's awesome. Neither
do I. This is a time in my life when I'm not paying attention to, like, the news in February of 1995.
Right.
You know? On February 6th, 2006, 11 years later, there's a number of things that happen, most of which are very boring. in Canada, Stephen Harper is sworn in as the 22nd Prime Minister.
Okay.
Let's go to our favorite thing, top five songs in the USA. Now, last time, it was five songs that we didn't know.
Neither of us knew.
Here, it's a lot of overlap, but there's one song that I do know and wish I didn't. So again, Beyonce, Check On It. I don't remember how Check On It goes.
No. Nope.
Nelly, Grills.
Nope.
Don't remember that swim from last week. Mary J. Blige, Be Without You.
No.
Zac Efron, Breaking Free.
No.
I don't remember Zac Efron having a pop hit. But the one that I know, unfortunately, is, of course, You're Beautiful by James Blunt.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
We're coming off like real snobs this episode, aren't we?
Yeah, but that, I mean,
I guess that's who we are.
That's who we are.
Well, that's How Are We Doing. Now let's move on to Challenge Accepted.
Mm-hmm.
This is where we make predictions on what's going to happen.
I wish there was a video component because he raises his finger in the air.
Yeah, well, because I feel like that's something Barney would do. Yeah. Barney has to do a gesture. Like he does in this episode, they do a freeze frame high five.
Yeah, yeah.
So Challenge Accepted is when we try to predict what's going to happen on next week's episode based only on the titles of the episodes. But first, we have to revisit our predictions from last week.
Right, yes.
So I predicted that the one with the candy hearts would involve Ross pressuring himself to make some sort of declaration to Rachel.
Right.
I failed.
You failed. Yeah. What did I say?
You said that zip, zip, zip meant that Ted, despite being in a relationship with Victoria, still knows zip about her. So I think that's a two-way.
Yeah, we both.
Yeah, I think we both. We both blanked that one. No new votes on the Cameron Manheim thing. We remain at a draw as to whether or not Cameron Manheim is a big enough star to count as a name guest star.
Big celebrity guest star.
Yeah, yeah. So let's make our predictions. I'll start with my prediction of what's going to happen in Friends Season 1, Episode 15, which is called The One with the Stoned Guy. The One with the Stoned Guy. Stoned means high on marijuana. Mm-hmm. Not like that old-timey, like, when stoned used to mean drunk, you know, like in like Johnny Cash songs.
Right.
Or even in Piano Man, as the businessman slowly gets stoned.
Yeah.
It used to mean drunk. Now it means getting marijuana high.
Yeah. Jazz cigarettes.
Yeah. The one with the stoned guy. I'm going to guess that Phoebe dates a stoner.
Okay.
All right. Phoebe dates a stoner. So that's locked and loaded.
Locked and loaded. In the books.
Keep going. All right. No, sorry.
Etched in stone. What? Is that?
Yeah, no, that's perfect. You got three. That's the comedy number. All right.
How I Met Your Mother, episode 15.
Season 1, episode 15. It's called Game Night.
Game Night. Okay. So because this was not the Valentine's Day episode, can I guess that this will be the, okay. So I think that this will be the Valentine's Day episode just based on the date, and maybe the crew decides that instead of like trying to do like Valentine's dates, they're all just going to have a game night at home.
All right, so Valentine's Day episode, they have a game night instead
at Marshall and Lily's house.
Dates. It's an apartment, not a house.
That's what I mean.
And it's Marshall, Lily, and Ted.
Yes. Thank you for mansplaining this podcast.
Okay, so those predictions are locked and loaded. We got no new points given this week because we both whiffed it.
Yeah.
But I think we did it. We covered both episodes, seasons one, episodes 14 of Friends and How I Met Your Mother.
Yep.
You can find us at, you can find this podcast, past episodes, wherever you get podcasts. You can also find it at battleshippretension.com. That's where you can find my other podcast where I talk movies. And the website I also review movies. There's all sorts of stuff to do there. You can follow me on Twitter at Davey Pretension. But more importantly, you can email us. Yeah. You can comment on the battleshippretention.com on the website. We get comments there, but also you can email us any thoughts you have.
Yeah, let us know.
Yeah, the one where I meant your mother at gmail.com.
Yeah, let us know what you think. Comments, whatever you got.
Do you have anything else to plug?
Nope, sure don't. Until next time, catch us at the perk.